life comes out of death, doesn't it? There are these cycles of continual new life and then death and then a new form of life.
In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you this time about how life comes out of death. We've been discussing the profound spiritual principle that life comes out of death, that there is no life without death. And we can see this in the cycle of our own lives. When you and I left the security and the warmth of our mother's womb to travel a terrible passage into a cold and unfamiliar world, we don't remember that, but it was death to the security and warmth, death to the life that we had known for 9 months in the safest place in the world, and then the painful twisting through that terrible passage out into a shockingly cold and unfamiliar world. But if it weren't for that death, we wouldn't have the life that we have. Every passage is both a death and a new life. When the child is weaned, there is the severing from the only source of comfort and nourishment that he has known. That's a form of death both for the mother and for the child, as I know. Suddenly, both find themselves lonely. The child realizes that that which he has depended on is no longer available, and the mother realizes that she is no longer needed in quite the same way that she was before. She experiences the first separation from her baby, who has been intimately and physically a part of her. Weaning is thus a death for both the baby and the mother. When the child learns to walk, he walks away from his mother. When he leaves for school, it's the end of measureless freedom and the security of home. He finds out what loneliness is, and that is a kind of death. I remember my brother Tom telling me about his first day in kindergarten. He was ridden to school on my brother Dave's bike, and Dave was much older, and Dave had been to that school and knew everything that there was to know about it, and Tom should have felt perfectly secure with his brother. Dave took him right to his room, introduced him to the teacher, and Tom says, the minute Dave walked out of sight and Tom was looking through the glass door out into the hall and saw him disappear, he said, I just burst into tears. I couldn't stand it. So life comes out of death, doesn't it? There are these cycles of continual new life and then death and then a new form of life. The mother also finds a kind of death when the child leaves home and goes to school. Even if she feels that for her it's the beginning of a new freedom, she realizes that she's lost her baby. Then there's puberty, the foreshadowing of the new life of fatherhood and motherhood, death to the old one of childhood. Jesus made a break with his parents at the age of 12 to be about his father's business. The time of irresponsibility was over for him. I wonder, perhaps, if there's a lesson here for teenagers and their parents. How long ought playtime to go on? When my friend Kathy's daughter Amy went to college, her mother lost her baby all over again, as her letter depicted. Then at the end of college, there are graduation ceremonies, which are called commencements, a word which simply means beginnings. They celebrate both an ending and a beginning. Young adulthood is a new life, eagerly welcomed, but seldom entered upon without some pangs of nostalgia, not to mention qualms about the future. So it's a death as well. One is jolted by the realization that he's no longer protected and cared for. He is on his own and has obligations that he never had before. It dawns on him, for example, that he is single, although never has he been anything else. What does that mean? It means that he must seriously seek the will of God, and that is a new beginning. Life continuously comes out of death. You know the wonderful life cycle of the salmon, how those tiny newborn salmon make their way down the river and out into the ocean and miraculously go back up to where they respond. And it takes a tremendous lot of energy and suffering for the salmon to go back up the river and jump the falls. I'm sure some of you have seen that amazing process in those beautiful nature programs on television. I love the programs that show wildlife in any form. And I remember seeing those energetic fish leaping the falls. In fact, I've seen them actually do that out there in the Columbia River in Oregon. And when the salmon spawns, he dies. There would not be another generation of salmon if the older generation did not lay down its life. In a beautiful little book called Parables of the Cross, Lilias Trotter writes this: "Death is the gateway of life. There was, deep inside those old words, great spiritual insight. For man's natural thought of death is that of a dreary ending in decay and dissolution. And from his standpoint, he is right. Death as the punishment of sin is an ending. But far other is God's thought in the redemption of the world. He takes the very thing that came in with the curse and makes it the path of glory. Death becomes a beginning instead of an ending, for it becomes the means of liberating fresh life." And then she illustrates everything that she says in this book with beautiful, delicate watercolors of plant life. And I learned this from her book, and I quote again: "Botanists say that across the leaf stalk there forms in the autumn a layer of thin-walled cells termed the layer of separation. These press and tear the older cells apart and become disintegrated in their turn till without an effort the leaf detaches with a severance clean and sharp as though made by a knife. The plant sentences the leaf to death, and the winds of God carry out the sentence." Isn't that amazing? That wall of separation, which is actually a part of the growth process in the tree, causes the death of the leaf. The plant sentences the leaf to death, and the winds of God carry out the sentence. Have you ever thought about the fact that every time you sit down at the table, something has to die? The food on the table illustrates the principle that we're talking about. Life comes out of death. The lettuce, the wheat, the meat. You just go through your list. There are a couple of things that we eat that don't require the death of anything, and those are eggs and milk. Maybe you can think of some others. But it does take a laying down of the life on the part of the cow, not that the cow has to be slaughtered, but the cow has to give the milk. The cow has to live in order that you and I can live on that product that she gives. Think of the hen laying the egg. I remember that old record that we used to have at home where two guys are talking, and he says, "Well, you got some hens out on your farm?" He says, "Yeah, I have." He says, "Well, how much do you get for your eggs?" He says, "Well, I get 25 cents apiece." 25 cents apiece? That's a lot of work for, that's an awful lot of money for one egg. "Well, yeah, but it's a whole day's work for a hen. You got to think of that. You couldn't do it, could you? Hmm?" So the food on the table represents life out of death, this same principle that we're talking about. And in my last talk, we discussed the cycles of life and how the whole of life is a repetition of the principle of life out of death. One day I heard a woman speak on the subject of what she called egalitarian marriage. She was telling us how that at the beginning of their marriage, they had many difficulties and trials and troubles, But finally, they had learned to live equally and make it a 50-50 proposition. But she said at the beginning, marriage seemed to her like a death. And she was very angry about that. The truth is that marriage is, in fact, a form of death. Nowhere is the life-death cycle more obvious than in marriage. While bride and groom, consumed with joy, may well make it through the wedding without tears, the parents often don't. Newlyweds focus on the new life, parents focus on the one that's over. It doesn't take long after the wedding, however, for the young husband and wife to discover that marriage is both a new life and an unexpected death. At this point, each is likely to feel that a horrible mistake has been made. Marriage is death to privacy, death to independence, death to childhood's home and family, death to unilateral decisions, death to the idea that there are only two ways of doing things, my way and the wrong way.
As Elizabeth Elliot has said, anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. She's been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.